Good morning. Glad to have you all joining us again online as you listen in. A couple of updates. We did send out an email about a week ago, and I do want to refer back to that. It's that same information is also on our webpage, and it's going to have some really important information to you of how to get connected in this time in small groups. We're doing a lot of stuff online, and there's some women's groups, there's some men's groups. We're even actually starting up a couples group this next week. And so there's a lot of options for how you can get tapped into that and get the links for those groups online. So all that information, again, is on our webpage. There's some phone numbers of people you can reach out to so that they can get you connected in that. And so I just highly encourage you to do that. It's been a great time for those of us that have been able to see people face-to-face on those screens. And it's not as good as obviously being in home with each other or in those home settings. But again, take advantage of that opportunity of growing and just digging in the Word and keeping up in each other's lives and being able to pray for each other. And with that prayer, I also do mention we are also offering prayer times throughout the week at different times. Again, those are also posted on there where you can receive prayer. And we'll probably continue to add some more days of those when we can, because we just want to make sure we're connecting to your lives and where your needs are and lifting that before the Lord. Another great update is just, man, our food bank is amazing. I can't believe the support in the community that is coming around, both in finances pouring into that, but also the volunteers on the ground that are coming on Tuesdays and preparing all the bags of food that go out on Wednesdays. It's quite phenomenal to watch that, and it's just a blessing. I think we served just about 200 individuals or family units that came through this week to pick up their food, and so it's continuing to grow. There are ways that you can give into that, both through the city and here at Avalon Community Church, along with, again, tithes and offerings as we go through these weeks. And I know we're not gathering here, but again, you can give online on our website and or send to our P.O. Box at 98. So if you do give to the food bank, just make a note of it. That's for food bank. Otherwise, again, as the Lord provides, we encourage you to give your tithes and that through those means. As we just prepare our hearts for this morning to just come into a time of worship and just praise as we fix our gaze and our thoughts upon Him, because we want to worship, we want to thank our Lord. He is so good, isn't He? Just to know how the ways that He walks in every season of our lives, and he's using it right for the molding and the shaping of our lives. He's a God that continues to give abundantly, even when it seems like it's a season of lack. But are we experiencing this kind of walking with God? And I encourage you that you are finding that where you are today. And if not, let this be a time that can just usher you into knowing His presence with you, and to stir our hearts for the love of God in this place and in this time. And so let's turn our hearts to praise and to worship this morning. Never said it would be easy. Never said there'd be no pain. But you promised you'd go with me, and your promises you'll always keep. Well, I confess how much I need you. I confess that I am weak. I can't promise I won't fail you, but your promises will not fail. When in the valley, I will fear no evil. When enemies surround me, you prepare a table. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Thank you.
There is beauty in the struggle. You don't waste a single day.
Your presence is my shelter. Your presence is my victory. Oh. When I'm in the valley, I will fear no evil. When enemies surround me, you prepare a table. Surely
again. running into your arms. It's running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. And I know I need you now. I run to the Father, fall into grace. Done with the hiding, He's underway. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. No, no, again and again. Again and again and again and again. Oh, oh.
Falling down like rain, love that I can't explain. Peace that fills my soul. Light in the darkest place, life, even in the pain, it feels like coming home. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Alive again, gone is the weight of sin. Oh, sweet liberty. Praise God who saved my life. I'm bought with the blood of Christ. I have been redeemed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Good morning and welcome to Avalon Community Church. We thank you for blessing us with your presence on this beautiful April 26th, the last Sunday in April. And wow, the summer heat is here. Unfortunately, the summer crowds are not, and we're all still quarantined. But I want to give a big thank you to John and the worship band. We've been so blessed with the worship that you're allowing to take place, and not just on Sunday, because I find myself going back to listen throughout the week. I don't know about the rest of you, but it sure picks me up about Wednesday or Thursday. And that's a great thing about having it recorded online. I love you all, and I miss showing that love to you. And I'm excited to connect with you, however, any way that we can. And so let's especially keep connecting spiritually in prayer that these hard times will soon be behind us, and especially for all who are sick and have family sick with the virus. But also, do keep letting us know about your needs so that we can help with them as God provides, as God allows us to be able to help. This Sunday, we're beginning a new series on the book of Psalms, the Psalter. It's a book especially written for times like these and incredibly valuable in times like these. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "Whenever the Psalms are abandoned, an incomparable treasure is lost to the Christian church, but with its recovery comes unexpected power." And John Piper, a little more recently, wrote, "When we read the Psalms, we are meant to learn things about God and about human nature and about how life is to be lived. Some poetry makes no claim to instruct the mind. The Psalms do. They are meant to be instructive about God and man and life." And so, today we're going to learn a bit about the book of Psalms, the Psalter itself. It's going to be an introduction to the overall book, which will help us as we begin digging up its incomparable treasure. I want to begin by reading Psalm 1. What a great place to begin, huh? Psalm 1. "How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." And all God's people said, Amen. Beloved, God is so good. For in times like this, we're all going through, he lifts us up. He gives us a renewed prospect. He gives us songs to sing. And he puts poems to music. And he does so we can reflect on his kindness. We can reflect on his steadfast love. Former heavyweight boxer James Quick Tillis, I saw him the other day on a sports show. There's not much happening in sports shows, but they were interviewing James. He's a cowboy from Oklahoma who fought out of Chicago, the city of Chicago, in the early 1980s. And he was remembering back to his first day in Chicago, in the Windy City, after his arrival from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He says, "I got off the bus with two cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago and stopped in front of the Sears Tower. And I put my suitcases down, I looked up at that tower, and I said, 'I'm gonna conquer Chicago.' But then when I looked down, my suitcases were gone." Now in my days, we call that a bummer. And he did say that he was bummed. And it's common in times of isolation, in times when we're missing family, in times of sickness, to get bummed, to let the currents of discouragement drag us toward the rocks, drag us toward a danger zone where even the most positive get discouraged. And it's just for times like what we're going through, times of trouble, of heartache, of sickness that God puts psalms in our Bible. Powerful packets of poetry that lift us up, that give us renewed perspective, that let us reflect on His kindness, on His steadfast love. Martin Luther translated the Psalms in 1528, and he wrote in the preface of that translation these words: "A human heart is like a ship on a wild sea, driven by the storm winds from the four corners of the world. Here it's struck with fear and worry about impending disaster. There comes grief and sadness because of present evil. Here breathes a breeze of hope, of anticipated happiness. There blows security and joy and present blessings. These storm winds teach us to speak with earnestness, to open the heart and pour out what lies at its bottom." Wow. And it's true, the Book of Psalms is a collection. It's an anthology of poems, of songs that are compiled actually into five books into one, written over a 1,000-year period. From 1410 B.C. to 430 B.C., beginning with Moses and the Exodus in 1410 B.C., and concluding with the return of the exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem in 430 B.C. And no, David did not write all the Psalms, although he did write the most, 73 of them. And he wrote it during his time as King of the United Kingdom, and I don't mean Britain, I mean the United Kingdom of Israel back in his day. But we also have Psalms written by others. The sons of Asaph wrote 12 Psalms. The sons of Korah wrote 11 Psalms. Moses and Solomon and Heman and Ethan each wrote one that they signed. And then there are anonymous writers, about 50 of them. We don't know whether they wrote one or more, but there are 50 anonymous writers as well. Together, they wrote the 150 Psalms that make up the Book of Psalms. And it's a fact that the book is quoted more times in the New Testament than any... Actually, that's not true. That's not true. I just found out that the Book of Isaiah actually has more quotes in the New Testament, but Psalms is a close second. So we see other biblical writers did indeed enjoy this book and added the book to their books. They often, it's the coolest thing that I also know, that in America, the Psalms are often added to copies of the New Testament, which shows that Americans have come to love this book as well. One publisher calls them Psalms in Our Palms. In order to put us all in a better position to appreciate and to use the Psalms, both in our personal lives and also in the life of the church, let's take a little time to refresh our minds of some things we need to know when reading. Important facts that we may have forgotten or we may be hearing for the first time, but either way, it helps us appreciate the Psalms even more. And the first one is, know that each Psalm has a history. Each has its own setting. Each is its own story or conclusion to a story. Understanding the particular author's world and the particular reason for writing helps unlock the meaning of the psalm. Some of the psalms, about 116 of them, have superscriptions. They have instructions by either the author or an editor that give the historical setting, that give some kind of instructions. For example, Psalm 151, where we find written as an inscription, to the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Now that's from obviously an editor, but it's a beautiful psalm. Let me read it. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and you may be blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifices, or I will give it. You would not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And all God's people said, Amen. So they come with their own setting. Each has their own story. Next, remember that Hebrew poetry does not rhyme. What I just read to you didn't rhyme. There weren't parallel words that sounded similar. No, the Psalms writers tend to parallel ideas and images rather than words. And I think you saw that as I read through Psalm 51. Also, biblical poetry should be enjoyed rather than dissected and analyzed. Don't scrutinize every noun or verb. Don't try to find hidden meanings in every word or phrase. Poetry is meant to stir our souls and lift our hearts in broad strokes, kind of like an artist. I mean, think about a painting from Norman Rockwell. Each time we look at it, it stirs up within us everything special about life in America, and to great detail, actually. Well, similarly, biblical poetry stirs within us what's special about an encounter or an experience with God. And that's what we need to feel. There are some miscellaneous things, like the Psalms are loaded, obviously, with figures of speech. Hyperbole and similes and metaphors abound. They're plentiful. The Psalms come in many different styles. There are the celebration Psalms, the thanksgiving Psalms, the messianic Psalms, the lament or complaint Psalms, praise Psalms, pilgrimage Psalms, the songs of ascent, for example, wisdom Psalms, imprecatory Psalms of judgment, trust Psalms. A few are grouped according to their styles, yes, but like we said earlier, most stand alone. Most stand alone. And lastly, I'd like us to realize that the Psalms were designed to be a literary sanctuary. I like to look at the whole book as like a temple, a sanctuary where intimate expressions of personal dialogue with God can take place. Psalm 1, that we read earlier, functions as a doorkeeper to the sanctuary. I mean, it was intentionally placed as that first psalm in its present canonical position in order to introduce the book and to keep out the wicked. And at the end of the book, we have five doxological psalms, praise psalms, Psalm 146 to 150, and they're characterized by exuberant praise to God. So this set of bookends helps the Psalms to provide this sanctuary from evil and sanctuary of abundant praise to God. It's fascinating. And as being in a sanctuary, or being a sanctuary, or a safe place, the Psalms invite us to pull off the busy highway of life. They rescue us from the high seas of trouble and give us space where we can have time to let God love us, to let God heal us, and for us to love God back. Many of us have found ourselves being moody lately, and rightly so, because we find ourselves in bad and sad circumstances. And I imagine many feel that God is distant, or that he somewhat doesn't care, or perhaps we feel he's being a bit unfair. Yeah, and we get angry when it seems like evil is winning, and we feel like complaining, we feel like fighting back. But unfortunately, when we do so, we realize how silly we sound and how silly we're acting, and that then bums us out even more, discourages us even more. Well, let's turn to the Psalms instead. The Psalms were created for times like this, because they were born out of people's experiences, good experiences and bad experiences, experiences that the Holy Spirit has recorded for us so that we can feel the experience of others, learn from the experience of others, and hopefully that will help us be better off. The Psalms are written to help us deal with all of the stuff in this messed up world that gets in the way of our connecting with God. They're the words that, in our desperation, we cry out back to God that we're hurt, we're afraid, we're lonely. The best way I've found to use them is as prayer, because they're incredibly multi-useful. So let's write down a simple kind of how to read the Psalms to assist us in using the Psalms through this next couple of weeks, okay? Get out a piece of paper, get out a pencil, get out your phone and open it up to the notes so that you can text some in there. And for starters, I suggest you begin at the beginning, which we actually did today by reading Psalm 1, but read it again as you start. Start with Psalm 1 and pray it in the morning, pray it in the afternoon, pray it in the evening, as Psalm 55:17 tells us to do, actually. The next day, move to Psalm 2. Read it. Read it again throughout the day. And when you've read through and prayed through all 150 Psalms, start over. If you miss a day, just pick up where you left off, all right? Don't get mad at yourself. And that way, your prayer life will be nourishing. It'd be a full diet of Psalms. Secondly, make the psalmist's words your own words. Augustine of Hippo says, if the psalms praise, you pray. If the psalm laments, you lament. If the psalm exalts, rejoice. If it hopes, you hope. If it fears, be fearful. Everything written here is there for us to mirror. So, as we read, as we pray through the Psalms, we will learn how to pray through every season. Whether we're rejoicing with those who rejoice or mourning with those who mourn, the Psalms have all that we need for all that we will go through. Next, meditate on the Psalms by meditating, thinking about it after it or during the read, you're following the way of the psalmists themselves. Remember it's the first psalm, the Psalm 1, verse 2? He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Thinks about it, keeps it in his mind, fills his mind with it, these good words of God. If anything in the psalm sticks out, pause for a minute. Ask the Spirit to shine his light on it. Then mull it over in your mind until it begins to ignite your heart. Without a doubt, the warmth of the Psalms is due to the kindling of meditation. Memorize the Psalms. Nothing has been more fruitful in my prayer life, in my life, than memorizing the Psalms. I always have words to soothe my soul, even when I'm speechless. Jesus modeled this by praying the Psalms from the cross in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And lastly, pray the Psalms through Jesus. Pray them through Jesus and with Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that Jesus is both the one through whom we pray to the Father and the one who prays these Psalms to the Father for us. So, as we're praying the Psalms, imagine that the words, what the words would mean coming out of Jesus' lips as both a human and as both God in his suffering and in his glory. Remember, he himself said that all of the Psalms are about him in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Dietrich Bonhoeffer also says, the more deeply we grow into the Psalms and the more often we pray them as our own, the more simple and rich our prayers will become. Amen. I want to try this last one, praying the Psalms through Jesus and with Jesus. So think of Jesus being with you. As I read, imagine him and you praying together. Psalm 104, just verses 33 and 34. Imagine praying with Jesus. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May the meditations be pleasing to you, for I rejoice in you, my Lord. And all God's people said. Being busy is a burden, and too many of us have been carrying the burden of busyness for too long. In our recent, in our very common time of discouragement that we're going through, God is inviting us to come back to him, to experience him, to speak to him about our needs, about our situations, express to him our joys, our sorrows, our successes and our failures, our hopes and our regrets. And I'll promise you, beloved, in those times that we need to connect with God, the door that will open the pathway to that meeting will be found somewhere in the Psalms. So look for it there. I want to close this morning with praying through Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. So come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.
Thirsty hearts again. You'll come. Blood into our thirsty hearts again.